Hey everyone, welcome back to the Duster Podcast. I'm your host, Ian McGregor, and today's Friday, so you know what that means. It's time for Queen of the North Fridays. Nicole, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I am glad it is Friday.
TGIF Friday, let's go.
1,010%.
So speaking of, thank God it's Friday, the weekend is here. We have some hockey games to talk about on the weekend, but I kind of want to talk about last weekend first.
No.
How did you do with your picks, Nicole?
Why do you even bring that up for?
I think you pulled an Ottawa Senators.
I think I did.
You didn't do very well.
Well, maybe I was trying to do it the opposite way. Like I was like, oh, these teams are going to lose.
Oh, that. So if I play the tape back, you pick the teams that are going to lose that game.
Yeah, that must be the case.
Okay, because you went 0 for 3.
Ooh.
0 for 3. It hurts.
That burns.
It hurts. So far, my two experts, Nicole and Sean, are they're not doing very good in their picks.
I'm so sorry. I don't know. Every logic that I ever put towards it, I should just do the opposite.
Put all the logic in and then just pick the opposite team. You're good to go. You're golden.
Yeah, that's what I think make case to.
Okay, so we'll get into your picks for tomorrow's games a little later on in the show. But first, we're going to get into your rankings. After you do your rankings, we're going to talk about kind of a surprise player as well as someone who is a duster on the team and they should be sitting a couple more games. We're going to go into that as well during your list. So we'll get into all that as we go. So up first, we do have number 7. Who do you have at the number 7 spot?
Breaks my heart, the Senators.
Big drop from 3 from last week.
I know. My heart hurts. I can't believe that I thought that things were going to, you know, go upwards. I'm a little on the devastated side.
They played pretty good, and Batherson's been crushing it. He's been a great player. And he's got 3 goals, 2 assists this week alone.
Playing, but they're still losing. Like, it's so devastating.
Why are they losing still?
I don't know, but they're losing big time. Like, it's not just, you know, a 2-1. It's 7-3.
Yeah, I think their defense is just, besides of Shabbat, Zub, and Brännström, their defense is just too slow.
Yeah.
They got to stop putting Colburn in, stop putting Gabrielsson in, start getting some speed up on that defense because they're so slow and teams are just blowing past them and they're not helping Murray at all in net.
Well, that's what happens with this generation of gameplay. It's no longer that punching and rough. It's more a quick, fast-paced type game now.
I 100% agree. And it's weird that Gabrielsson keeps getting put into the lineup. And for me personally, I'm looking at him as he is not able to keep up with the pace of the play. He's not able to produce any kind of offensive numbers. I don't understand why DJ Smith is so bent on putting him in this lineup. I don't get it.
Yeah, there's some tough choices that they have to make, I think. It's not looking too hot for us, unfortunately. I love my Sens, but not good things going.
And wherever they go, it seems like destruction just follows them. They've got 2 coaches fired. They got a goalie coach fired the other night mid-game. It's wherever they go, if they lose, or in Calgary's case, they still win.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere they go, basically, if you play the Senators, your coach has a chance of being fired that night.
That's scary.
Very scary.
That's very scary. So with the Sens, yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, with the Sens, we're just going to break it down. So we chatted about each of the hockey teams, about a pleasant pick, like Ian said. So
we have Drake Batherson for that one. He has been a stud this year. He's leading the team in points right now. He has 18 points. He's a -6, which is okay, but 9 goals, 9 assists. Absolutely been a stud. I knew he was going to be a good player. I was seeing more of a third line, second line role. He has very quickly shown that he is first-line caliber player. Him and Stützle have had great chemistry. They need a proper centerman in the middle there. Anisimov, Tierney, at one point Stepan. These centers, they can't handle with the stud of prospects. They need someone in that middle, and they'll just skyrocket them.
So true. Batherson really has picked up his socks and really helped them. So, you know, there is great potential for Sens. I really feel like they have some young talent that just to get sort of situated, and then it'll be smooth sand for them, I think. So for Anne's and I's duster, we went with Anisimov.
Yes, I just mentioned Anisimov. I said that he is not at the caliber of player that Stützle or Batherson are. So with him as that center kind of anchor, I feel like he may be slowing them down a little bit, which is the exact opposite. You want to pick up these two players and get them the best chance possible to jump up on the play and get those scoring chances. And Anisimov is just not that player, unfortunately.
Yeah, you need that chemistry. You almost need them to be in sync with each other. And really, if you don't have that, you're not going to make the plays. It's unfortunate.
No, I think Colin White needs to be in that spot. He's on the third line right now, Colin White. And Anisimov, like I said, is playing on that second line. Norris and Tkachuk, they have great chemistry together. I don't want to split them up at all. Norris is a very close second for that superstar breakout kind of player that on our list here. But I don't want to split him and Tkachuk up. So with those two not being able to split up and Batherson and Stützle not wanting to be split up, you really got to find someone for that center. And unfortunately, they just don't have it right now. Hopefully, Colin White can go up there and kind of elevate his own game while elevating those two guys as well. So who do you have at the number six spot?
Number six, which dropped drastically from last week. I've got the Oilers.
The Edmonton Oilers. Yeah. Oh, no. What happened?
From top to bottom. I can't believe it. Like, I'm kind of devastated. Oilers are...
Did you curse them?
I feel like I did. Every time I do this, every time I put number one is this, they always drop so bad. And then the next week they're doing terrible.
Are you cursing these players? Are they like, okay, Nicole loves us. We're smooth sailing. No need to try anymore.
Yeah. Like I feel like I am jinxing them in this sense. They did a really, really poor job this week. It's really devastating, to be honest with
you. I'm surprised you even put them on the list because they didn't show up this. I felt like they didn't play this week because
they
were terrible. They had three games, one goal from Nugent Hopkins, got the only goal. And they got shut out twice against Toronto. And both times, it was Toronto's backup and third string goalie as the goalies that shut them. Like, Toronto is a good team. Don't get me wrong. Their defense has improved. But you're telling me McDavid and Drysdale couldn't figure out how to get a goal in three games?
Like, how hard is it to shut McDavid out?
He's the best player in the world. It's impossible. How is that?
That's my thought. I'm like, holy cow. There must be something going on with that goalie for McDavid not to get at least one in.
He had 0 points. He didn't even get an assist. Drysdale got one assist on the Nugent Hopkins goal.
But I was pretty upset. I'm not going to lie. McDavid is my player. Like
he's your first overall selection in the fantasy team.
That would be nuts if you didn't pick him first. And I'm really devastated because it was performing and then all of a sudden he's had like this dry spell where he's getting zero.
After the first shutout, I was really under the impression that McDavid and Drysdale were going to be really pissed off and they're going to get 5 points each the next game.
Nope.
And then they got shut out again. And then I'm like, okay, two in a row. Now they're furious. There's no way that these two aren't going to explode. And then they lost 6-1 against the Leafs. Like,
I'm so upset.
What is Edmonton doing? What happened? What happened?
From last week when I'm like, they are top notch. They're just smooth. Like, people are assisting with Drysdale and McDavid. Things are working out. To this downhill. I feel so bad for, the team. Like, I was rooting for them.
It's just been, this week has been a tire fire. And hopefully now that you've kind of brought them back down to earth and you put them in that sixth spot, maybe next week they'll be like, oh, we have to pick it up because Nicole's upset with us now. And maybe they'll play better.
Maybe.
We'll find out soon when we do our picks for tomorrow night's games because they're playing tomorrow night.
Yikes.
Watch out. We'll determine how they're going to play for the rest of the week.
So with the Oilers, our pleasant surprise was Puljujärvi.
Jesse Puljujärvi has been great since coming back from Finland. I was really worried because when he first had those issues at the beginning of his career and then he went to Finland, I was like, that's it. He's done. He ain't coming back. He's had a terrible time in Edmonton. Didn't click with anybody at all. Now he's gone. Done. I forgot about him. This year he decides, I'm coming back. I want one more chance. And he's been great with McDavid.
Yeah.
And I feel
I'm excited
that confidence.
To see that.
Yeah.
You know?
He has that confidence again.
He knew what he needed to do by going to Finland. He knew he had to, brush up on maybe. And coming back with vengeance.
Yeah. And he's showing that as a fourth overall selection, he's showing that he was he is a good player. I still kind of want him to take another step and be that kind of elite player, not just a really good player.
Yeah.
I still think he has that elite in him. He just has to really find it, but he's been a very pleasant surprise this year for Edmonton.
Definitely.
But with the highs, there are also lows. Who do you have as the duster for Edmonton?
Oh, the duster. James Neal, what are you doing?
He started off last season very well. Remember, he was getting goals.
So good.
And he was, we're like, oh, this is a resurgence. He's back. The James Neal from Calgary is gone. Here we go. We have he's back. What's happened this year? Fallen right off.
Devastation, yeah. Just devastation there.
And he's there for quite a while. I think he has 3 years left on it. He is not imagine? Very good.
This is why I don't like long deals. Really, like, it's not doing it justice to him or to the player.
No, he's not a good fit with Edmonton, and I'm not really sure where he would be a good fit anymore, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has 3 years left, making $5.75 million.
Wow.
That's terrible contract. And considering he only has 5 points, which is 2 goals and 3 assists, he has not been very good, and he needs to really pick it up. But right now, I think he has to be on the bench collecting dust. He has to.
It's too bad.
It's unfortunate. Really
too bad.
Well, Nicole, who do you have in the number 5 spot?
Oh, father-in-law would be so devastated. Montreal Canadiens. I don't know what happened to this team. The team that we saw at the beginning of the season is just so not good now. I don't know what happened.
The wheels have completely just fallen off. It's like they're driving an 18-wheeler and 9 of them just fell off the one side. They are a disaster. It's
so sad.
They fired their coach last week and they fired their assistant. And I'm thinking they cleaned house. They got rid of who they think is the issue or whatever. Great. Mm-hmm. They had an okay week. They got points in all their games.
Like, well, that's something. They got points. But still,
they're still not very good. And then, in a move that I'm a little confused about, mid-game against Ottawa Senators, they fired their goalie coach mid-game. Halfway through the second period, they're like, buddy, you're done. Pack up your stuff. Get out.
And that has to affect the players in some regard. Like, I'm sure they have some kind of attachment to these coaches. Right? And then to hear those things when you're on the ice and you're trying to focus, like, that's not what your head needs when you're supposed to be focusing on the game.
And, like, how's Carey Price supposed to react to knowing that because of him, a guy just got fired mid-game? And they won the game 3-1. Like, they beat Ottawa that game. Why didn't they fire the goalie coach last week with Claude Julien? Why wasn't they all just gone at the same time? That was the plan.
Instead of mid-game, when Carey Price has already got enough pressure on his shoulders, and then you have that situation. What were you thinking?
And I don't know if this is actually true, and I would love to one day speak to Carey Price and maybe pick his brain, but midway through the second period, they fire their goalie coach. Mm-hmm. And then near the end of the second period, Zub has a pretty kind of a fluffy shot towards Carey Price, and it goes in pretty easy.
Your mental brain, like your thought
something
process.
Something was up there. I was like,
of course.
At the time when we watched it, I didn't know all this firing nonsense was going on. Mm-hmm. I remember I looked at you and I was like, that was a weak, like, I'm glad Zub got a goal. I'm huge Zub Nation fan. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But I looked at you and I was like, Carey Price should have had that.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a bad, bad save. Like, there was nothing there. So now I'm thinking, did he have something going on? And so was he like, oh my God, this guy just, my coach is fired. And now what's going on? And he mentally wasn't there. It was just, I thought that was, now in hindsight, I'm like, that's kind of weird timing that he gets fired. And then like 2 minutes later, Zub scores a pretty weak shot. And not anything towards Zub, but Carey Price should have had that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Definitely agree with that. So our pleasant situation that we have going on,
pleasant.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. Toffoli, I had no idea who this guy was, and here he is.
Toffoli, he played for LA for a long time. So it's like the most opposite end of where we live. We live in Toronto. So the most opposite end of North America. He played with LA for many years, and then he played for Vancouver for years. But he has just exploded. He has 14 goals on the season.
It's great.
Absolutely on a tear.
Despite the fact that Montreal isn't doing very well now.
He's a bright spot on a pretty
dark
situation. Yeah, not good situation.
Yeah, I am quite a fan of Toffoli. He's really picking up the team, despite the fact they're not doing very well. You know, they only won 1 of 3 games they had this week.
But they went to overtime.
Yeah,
they got
so
to
getting
overtime
some
for the other
points.
games, though. So they're doing something.
And I'm sure a large portion of that was Toffoli.
Oh, yeah, he's been very good, and he's been a huge bright spot for an offense that was really focused on Suzuki and Kotkaniemi. And with the addition of Josh Anderson, that they were the focus for the offense coming into season. Toffoli has just snuck right in there and shown that he is the number one forward on the team, which is great.
Yeah, it's nice to see new blood in there.
So who and do we have as the duster, Nicole?
Our duster, Laikkanen.
I had such high hopes for him for years now. I keep thinking, oh, this is probably the year. This is the dark cloud of Montreal
right now.
Unfortunately, it's so true. He's 25 now. Like at some point, you have to say, okay, this is.
Yeah, definitely.
Every year I keep thinking, like, okay, he's going a little better. Maybe this is the year. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, no, okay, he had an okay year. And now it's just falling right off. Like he's not the player that I thought he was going to be. And I'm starting to think he's not a very good player. And it's unfortunate that he had high hopes for him. And he's unfortunately not clicking well.
Like for playing 20 games and only getting 4 points, it's kind of a situation where you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing out there? Like, and Montreal needs help offensively. So if he could pick it up and be a good player that he should be, they'd be welcoming him with open arms. But unfortunately, he's not doing it, unfortunately.
Boo.
So who do you have in the number four spot? We're in the playoffs. So as of right now, this team's making the playoffs. Who do you got?
I got the Flames this week.
Okay, Calgary Flames. They're doing not too bad.
Yeah. They were a tire fire a couple weeks ago. So, you know, not doing too bad. Winning 2 of 3 games this week, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I was impressed with some of the wins that they had. They beat Ottawa, which is always devastating. So this is why
they're not higher up. This is why they're 4 and not a 3. Because
the Ottawa effect?
Yes, I have a feeling that's what it is. But because Flames beat out Ottawa, you know, do you even celebrate that as a win?
I feel like, remember Vancouver at the beginning of the season, they just dominated Ottawa for those 3 games, and then they went right back to being terrible.
But that's not saying too much now, is it?
No.
So that's why it's the Ottawa effect. You can't really count it. It's like a half a point instead of a full one, you know?
I get it. And speaking of Ottawa, Flames won the other game 7-3.
Yes.
And how do they celebrate winning 7-3, Nicole? They fired their coach.
Yeah. Why? This is the problem that they face Ottawa and then the big decisions get made.
Like, they won 7-3. Like, they still won. Why would they fire the coach?
And they won by a decent amount, too. I don't get it.
They started picking it up, and now they just – and now Daryl Sittler's back. He was the coach for them a couple of years ago now. He was the coach for Calgary, and he got fired.
Okay.
And now there's been a couple coaches since, and now he's back all of a sudden.
Strange.
Yeah, like, what makes you think that now he's going to be a different coach? He's the same guy he's always been. He's always going to be the same guy.
That's kind of weird.
Why bring him back?
Like, clearly has the same standpoint and the same way of coaching.
Same style. It's like the Leafs fire Sheldon Keefe, and they're just like, you know what? We need to bring Babcock back.
Yeah.
Like, no, you've already had him. You know his style. You know what he's going to do. He's not changing how he is. Why bring him back?
Exactly. So for our pleasant surprise, we have Mangiapane.
He's been a huge, great player surprise. I knew he was going to be a good player. I wasn't expecting the high level that he is. He's second in the league, he's second on the team in goals with 8. He's been a great player. He's on that first line with Monahan and Good. He's been a really good player. Really good player. And I thought he was going to be a second line player this year. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the future, gain up to that first line minutes. But he's been a huge bright spot for Calgary.
Yeah, definitely snuck up there. He was kind of in the back burner. Who knew? Who knew that he would be our pleasant surprise?
Yeah, he only has 12 points on the season, which isn't great. But like we just talked about, Calgary as a whole isn't great. So still has 12 points. He has 8 goals, which is great. And as the team gets better, he will get better.
Well, and sometimes you don't necessarily need that all-star. You need people to surround the all-stars. So you need that support system. Who's going to pass to, you know? Not all the time does it mean that points skill. Like there's defensemen here doing their job. Yeah. Same thing with this guy. Obviously, passing and assisting in some way to get that puck there.
He's doing something right. And it's great that Calgary has that on their team.
But you know what they also have?
What do they have?
A duster.
Who's the duster?
We got Nordstrom, but Sam Bennett was a close second.
Sam Bennett was a close second. Yeah. And I think, and this is my glaring declaration right now.
Oh, geez.
If Sam Bennett, whenever he finally gets his trade request put through, mm-hmm. I think he'd be a strong second line center on another team.
Yeah, it's just, it all depends on where the fit is. You have to put
he's people not fitting on the right well spot. In Calgary,
unfortunately. Yeah, it's but unfortunate.
That's not the duster pick.
Nope. Nordstrom. Let's go. 22 games and 0 points. What zero. Is that?
He's averaging over 10 minutes a game on the fourth line. He has 0 points. Why is he still playing? You tell me there's no rookies in their minor league team that or someone on their taxi squad that they can put in there, maybe get one goal or an assist or something.
Not even an assist.
Something.
Come on.
Get something.
Something. You're playing 10 minutes. Let's go.
Like, you get an assist by, like, clearing the puck. Like, and yeah. People get secondary assists all the time for things that they don't even realize they've done.
Yeah, like bounces off their stick and automatically it's an something. Assist.
Like, you tell me he's done nothing for 20 games?
Good job, Nordstrom.
And there's nobody on the taxi squad or a rookie or anybody like that that you can put in there and maybe get something. Why is he on the team still? Sit on the bench, collect dust, bud. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's true.
He can sit beside us.
Yeah. Well, listen, the reason why this podcast is called the Duster Podcast is because I know exactly where I'd be if I ever played hockey. I'd be a duster. I get it. I'd get their water bottles ready for them. Don't worry. So who do you have in the number three spot, Nicole?
So I have the Canucks. Well, they beat teams other than the Senators this week. Okay. So yeah, I just feel like they were doing a good job this week. Shut out the Jets on Monday. Although they did a pretty sad loss to the Jets Tuesday, but we won't talk that.
We won't talk about the one loss. Now, if you look at they've won two and lost one. But, Demko won both those games, okay. And Holtby lost.
That's disappointing.
Demko has been on fire this.
But he juggles on his head. Oh, you see him. Even if they lost, he is still standing on his head week after week, I've noticed. But they beat the league.
And that was mainly because of Demko. Demko stood on his head, and he shut them out. That huge offensive juggernaut of a team stood on his head, and he shut them out. He did let one in, which is fair.
But still,
like, Edmonton couldn't solve them at all. But Demko was unreal, making crazy saves all night, and he's the first star for sure.
Absolutely. But to be beating teams like the league and the Jets, which are top teams,
those are two elite teams that are kind of a lock to make the playoffs of this thing, don't you say?
Yeah, that's why
Toronto for sure. Toronto's making the playoffs. I don't even have to really question that. Jets, they're pretty much a lock at this point. They're so dominant. They're so good. They're
don't talk about my other team.
I'm just saying. So that when Demko can, who's been on a pretty bad teams so far this season, like Vancouver's been not very good. For him to beat those two teams and decisively and get one of those as a shutout.
Yeah.
Great big week moves. Week for Demko.
Yeah. That's why they were definitely my third pick. I just felt, Demko's there, and they're beating teams that are up there. So they had some struggles, and they still manage the bottom team.
No, they have done really well, and if they can keep it up, then who knows what could happen.
So our pleasant surprise for Canucks is Höglander.
Niels Höglander. He has been – I didn't even really know him existed. Besides playing NHL 21 on the Xbox, I had no idea who he was. I knew he was a rookie that can get to like an 80 overall in the video game, but I didn't know what he was. Watching him play Vancouver and the speed and the skill he can play, if he can start getting some confidence and playing with some better players, the sky's the limit for him. He has been such a good player so far.
Yeah. It's nice to see people who you wouldn't typically see in that situation, and they're rising up and they're getting those important 10 points. He did play 27 games, but
still a rookie. So this is his first year. He's his first playing. Once he gets confident, he starts playing with Pettersson, Horvat, and Besser, and Miller.
Oh, he'll be up there.
He'll be up there, and he'll be great. He's going to be a great player, and he's so young, and he has so much potential that – I project very big things for him going forward, which is going to be cap hell for Vancouver going forward, because we talked about last week that they're going to be in cap hell anyway.
Oh, for sure.
If he picks it up and all of a sudden he asks for $6, $7 million, they're in trouble.
Yeah, they're going to have to move, unfortunately. Yeah,
absolutely.
One person that they could move around because they're a duster.
Yeah.
Is Vertanen.
Vertanen has to go. They've tried their best with him.
What are you doing? 22 games and three. What are you doing?
So two of those points came in the last game. Like the last game he just played. He got two goals.
Like pick up your socks, so bud.
Before that, it was one goal, zero assists.
Yeah.
In 22 games.
That's like, crazy.
That's a terrible stat line. He is not the prospect that Vancouver just absolutely loves to say he. People of Vancouver have been saying for years that he is going to be the stud. I don't see it. It's not coming. You have to move on. Sit him on the bench. Figure out a team to move. He's not getting it done. Absolutely.
Disappointing.
Very disappointing.
You know, like we say, if they just don't mesh well, it doesn't work out. Like you have to find that team.
Yeah, maybe he moves to a different team and he picks it up and he's the player that everyone thought he could be. But right now he's just
wah, wah.
Wah, wah. So we get to the final two spots here, Nicole. So who do you have in the number two spot?
I've got the Winnipeg Jets.
The Winnipeg Jets. Why do you have Winnipeg number two?
Well, they did fantastic this week. I just love their energy. I like Winnipeg a lot. I think that they really have some really fantastic players on that team that are really making strides. They won all their games. Like
they were really good. They have a very good team. They seem to be really starting to click well. Mm-hmm. Pierre-Luc Dubois coming in. He's been a stellar second line there. And they're really starting to mesh well and pick it up. Their defense has been great. Pionk has always been great. And Hellebuck's really starting to tighten up a little bit. He had one kind of not so good game this week. But other than that, he's been great. Bersois, great backup goalie. They're a good team.
Yeah, even look at, like you were saying, Pierre-Luc Dubois, he's played 8 games and has 6 points.
Yeah, it's been great. Well, unfortunately, that 2-week mandatory, what's it called? The mandatory lockdown or whatever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that kind of stifled his development a little bit, but
he's still rocking it,
He's still rocking it. He's a great player. He's going to be a great fit for Winnipeg, and it's scary being in the North with them right now.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried for anybody else who's out there. Like, Toronto's going to have to really push it. Scheifele is 32 points. Like, a lot of their players have a lot of points.
Yeah, Scheifele's been absolutely on a tear. Ehlers, Connor, Wheeler. They're Stastny. He has 4 goals in this week alone. 3 of them were in the third period and one's in overtime. Like, he's coming in clutch moments for Winnipeg. He's a third line center now for them because Pierre Dubois is here.
It's actually pretty impressive. I like Winnipeg. I hope that they go far.
Do you see them as a lock for the playoffs at this point?
I do. I really do.
I do as well. I think exactly the same as you. I think they're definitely a lock at this point. And it's really between two teams for the playoffs at this.
Yeah, they're clicking Edmonton, so well.
I think Edmonton's also a lock. Not really a lock, but I think
they're going to be okay.
I'm worried. Because sometimes they cannot show up.
Yeah, that's a little worrisome. Like I said, they were on the top of the list last week, and now they're at close to the bottom.
Yeah, they've fallen off a lot.
Yeah, they have. Disappointing. But we're not talking about the Oilers. We're talking about the Jets. Our pleasant surprise is definitely Kyle Connor, I picked him. I had no idea who this guy was, and he's crushing it.
Yeah, he has really stepped it up. He used to play like the second line, third line kind of minutes, and he's really good player. He got a pretty good contract recently. Same kind of time Laine got his contract. He's been really good this year, and he's on that first line minutes. He's been an absolute stud offensive for Winnipeg.
Love it. But I don't love...
Who don't you love?
The duster guy. Trevor Lewis.
I don't even know
who this poor guy is.
He is a 34-year-old right wing for Winnipeg, and he plays on the fourth line. He averages like 9 minutes a game. He's not very good. Once again,
he's had his career.
He's had it. He played a long time with L.A. He's just... You tell me there's no other prospects that can take over for him? There's no one in the minors that can give a chance over him. Like, he has to be on the team. Like, what's he doing?
He's keeping seats warm. Played 23 games and has 3 points.
Yeah, he's not very good, no. And I can't even be like, oh, he's good for the locker room because Wheeler's their leader. Stastny's their leader. Shifley's their leader. They don't need another leader. You mean like there's no reason for him to really be there. Like he's not doing any of the team, and there should be someone else that can go in that role.
Yeah, it's too bad.
So, well, it's kind of a foregone conclusion at this point, but who do you have left at number one?
It hurts my heart. I don't even like saying it.
Don't like saying what?
Ugh. Number one is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't like this, but they are just on fire. I don't know what to say. Multiple shutouts this week. Like, what is even happening here? Like, you're playing against McDavid and Drysdale, and you're shutting them out. They're, like, unbelievable. Like, those players are on top. I cannot fathom how they managed to beat the Oilers with
And the defensive pair that was matched up against McDavid was Jake Muzzin and Justin Hull. And they shut him down three games straight. Like, good on them. Like,
yeah.
I made a lot of jokes about Muzzin and Hull saying that they shouldn't be on the team. And yeah, Muzzin's a good player, but maybe he shouldn't got the $5 million deal, or Justin Hull's not really good. And they proved me wrong. They have proved me wrong. They shut down McDavid. They shut down Drysdale for the most part. They had nothing while they were those two on the ice.
Well, it's just showing a little bit more depth to the team than I think that we've seen before. Yeah. The Leafs were very one-dimensional. They were fast, but they weren't meshing last year. And this time around, you have them working as a team together. They're meshing, flowing. And it's really impressive. You have veterans working with the newbie, and they're in there and they're killing it. I hate to say it because, you know, I bleed Senators, but the Leafs are doing really well.
The Leafs are doing really well. They're the only, besides Winnipeg now that we've kind of talked about it, but the Leafs are a hands down lock for the playoffs. I think they're a hands down lock for first in the division.
I think so too.
I don't see any teams passing them. They're so good. Their record on the season, which I didn't even realize till today, they're 18-4-1.
Yeah, it hurts.
That is unreal.
Well, because then you look at the Senators and they have 8 wins, and I'm like, how did Toronto get 10 more wins than us?
They're killing it. Clicking it, and they are just unbelievable. Nylander, remember those two garbage goals he got against Calgary last week?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Nylander's woken up, and he is just crushing it. 3 goals, 1 assist this past week. He needs more time on ice, and he'll get more goals. He's only averaging 14 minutes a game.
Okay, so I'm just going to say it. I swear that it goes both ways, too, with this. We were talking one day about Nylander and how he wasn't performing the way he should be. And then the very next time we chatted, he was getting goals and scoring and doing everything. Yeah. Like 10 goals, 10 assists. Like, where did this guy come from?
He has. Basically, he heard what you said, and they just started playing way better. Like,
I wish I had that power. You know?
They play your tapes in the dressing room, and they're like, this Nicole, Queen of the North, she's making you look like a jester of the North. Pick it up, Nylander.
But it just kills me. Marner has 34 points. Like, he's creaking his way up there to where McDavid is.
Yeah, Marner's been very good.
Like, I was waiting for Marner to kind of come into his own, and I really feel like this is his year.
I absolutely agree. Even the one year he got like 92 or 94 points, I feel like he got that because he was with Tavares. This year, I feel like he's getting those points and he's making others get the points. It's no longer him just benefiting off of someone else. People are benefiting off of him.
Oh, 100%. Like, the amount of people who were kind of slacking a little bit in years prior have really picked up their socks and are really taking it home. And speaking of that, with our pleasant surprise, Jason Spezza,
who Mike Babcock last year didn't even want to put in the lineup.
Yeah, he was a duster.
Last year, Mike Babcock made him a duster last year.
Yeah.
And Sheldon Keefe gave him a chance. Just give him a chance. And now look at him.
Exactly. Like, he's doing so great. I liked Jason Spezza when he was in playing for the Sens. I was a little sad that he went to Toronto, but to be honest with you, he's really pulling it together and he's working side by side. Like, I love watching Spezza. I love watching Thornton do what they have to do on the team. Like, they're older, they're veterans, but they're still pulling their weight.
Yeah.
Spez is killing it right now. 24 games, but he's got 15 points. Like, that's pretty good for being a support role.
Yeah, he has really come into showing that he's no longer this veteran on the fourth line who shouldn't really be there. He's proving that he deserves to be playing, and he deserves to be playing every night, and he's a great player for them. Great pickup.
It's kind of exciting to see. What's not exciting is your the duster.
The duster.
How do you like how I just like segue into these things?
That's a great segue. You're beautiful segues.
Well, I appreciate that. It's the no Queen of the North. Barabanov.
Barabanov, okay.
Barabanov.
Why is he a duster?
Because he's a duster. It just plain and simple, like he should be on the bench. There's not much else you can say about him.
He's just a big body, not very fast. He is not very skilled in the puck. He shouldn't be playing. That's
no 11 games and 0 points.
Yeah, he shouldn't be playing. I don't see him playing. If it was up to me, I don't see him playing for the rest of the season. He's not a very good player. He's not what they at least are expecting, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out, and he'll be gone next week.
I think so, too. I just don't see it continuing on. He's not going anywhere. And then, to be honest with you, you don't want to really keep the player there if they're not reaching their potential.
Yeah, you can move on. It's just not a fit. You can bring Galchenyuk up and put him in that place instead. Like, there's other players that they can put in there.
Like, that's he's only 26 years old, you know?
Yeah, he's only 26.
He's still got some time.
Unfortunately, he's just not clicking with Toronto, and it's not going to click. Well, that's it. That's the Queen of the North rankings. We have Ottawa Senators coming in 7th, Edmonton Oilers 6th, Montreal Canadiens 5, Calgary Flames 4, Vancouver Canucks 3, Winnipeg Jets 2, and the Toronto Maple Leafs coming in at that number 1 spot. You can find all those picks on my Twitter at Duster Podcast. And now it's time for Nicole's picks for tomorrow night.
Oh, geez.
Let's go on round 2. You didn't do so well last Saturday.
No.
We talked about
round three, man.
Round 3. You're right.
I did pretty good the first time, and then it went downhill.
I apologize. You're right. Round 3, you did pretty good. But last week, you didn't do
not so good.
You went 0-3. So we have three. Keep bringing it up.
Why don't you?
Bring what up? That you went 0-3?
Ugh.
That you basically were the Edmonton Oilers of this week.
I'm going to do better.
You can do better. Okay.
I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay. Speaking of the Toronto Maple Leafs, we have the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Vancouver Canucks. Who do you got there?
The Leafs.
The Leafs. Okay. They're going to come back because Holpe, I think, is going to be playing tomorrow. So you think Holpe's going to get lit up by the Leafs?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going with it. I'm not even thinking. I'm just saying.
You're just saying. You're going with your gut. I love
it. I'm going with my gut.
Okay, what's your gut say about the Jets versus the Canadiens?
Jets.
The Jets. And what's your gut saying about the Flames versus the Oilers?
Oilers.
Okay, so we have the Maple Leafs over the Canucks, the Jets over the Canadiens, and the Oilers over the Flames. Just like the rankings, you can find all that on my Twitter at Duster Podcast. And next week, hopefully Nicole can do better in her picking, and we will definitely be discussing with that next Friday. Nicole, any final thoughts, any kind of topics?
I just better hope to be better this time my picks. That's the plan.
Hopefully there can be a good week next week. Thank you so much for coming on. I do appreciate this.
Of course. Like I said,
all my stuff you can find at the Duster Podcast on Twitter.
Queen of the North out.